Support by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead can be experienced only by His causeless mercy, not by mental speculation, nor with the help of the material senses. Material senses cannot approach the transcendental understanding of the personality of Godhead. He can be appreciated only by submissive devotional service when He reveals Himself before the devotee. Only by love of Godhead can one know God and not otherwise. The personality of Godhead cannot be seen with the material eyes, but He can be seen from within by spiritual eyes opened by the ointment of love of God. As long as one's spiritual eyes are closed due to the dirty covering of matter, one cannot see the Lord. But when the dirt is removed by the process of devotional service, one can see the Lord without a doubt. Brahma's personal endeavor to see the root of the lotus pipe failed. But when the Lord was satisfied by His penance and devotion, He revealed Himself from within with no external endeavor. Lord Brahma was in a bewildered state. Because at the beginning of creation, besides that lotus flower that had stemmed from the navel of Sri Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, everything else around him was dark. Thus, he was quite aware that he was lost. The only thing he had to hold on to even search within, was the stem of the lotus. It is described here, he climbed all the way to the bottom of the lotus. He climbed all the way back up, but still he could not understand who he was, where he was coming from, where the lotus was coming from, what he was supposed to do. And it is described here, he even went inside of the lotus. Still nothing was found that could satisfy his quest for truth. We are all born in the darkness of ignorance in this material existence. Om Agyan Timirandhasya. As Lord Brahma, we are born without understanding who we are, where we are coming from, what is the purpose of life, and how to achieve it. We're all in darkness. However, by the mayic arrangement or the illusory phantasmagoria of the creation around us, we are so much bewildered. We are so much infatuated by the objects of the senses that most people do not even bother to ask the basic questions that Brahma was inquiring into. The majority of the human population, what to speak of other species of life, in the darkness of this age of Kali, do not even consider it very important to understand who they are, where they are coming from, what the purpose of life is, or how to achieve it. People are simply chasing after the immediate pleasures that the mind and the senses are demanding. And those who come to the conclusion that these questions are necessary to answer. Most everyone tries to understand the truth through their own mental or sensual capacity. But here we find Lord Brahma, who has a mental and physical sensual capacity billions and trillions of times greater than our own. He was not successful. This is called the ascending process of trying to acquire knowledge. By our own efforts, if Brahma cannot do it, what hope do any of us feel that we can do it? Even the greatest scientists of this world, they have so many theories in which they speculate how this world came about, how the human species came about. But all of their ideas are simply their guessing. They see something and they speculate how this came about. They see some phenomena of various changes of the history of the past, and they come up with all sorts of fanciful theories and write many, many books explaining, according to what they see, what is the origin of life, what is the source of creation. This is called the ascending process. Now, if Brahma cannot figure this out, who are we to figure it out? The scientists may be able to make some adjustments with what Brahma has already created to make a very slight difference in how something appears to be. But Brahma had the power to create all the planets and all the species of life throughout the whole universe. The mundane scientists, they cannot even understand even a fraction of what's taking place in this tiny little Earth planet. What to speak of other planets in this universe? In fact, the scientists cannot even figure out what is going on in their own bodies. What to speak of what's going on in their own minds? So how, through the ascending process, will such so-called academic scholars understand the cause of all causes? Lord Krishna himself is telling Brahma, it is only through the descending process, which means when the Lord is pleased with you, when he reveals himself, can you understand anything in truth? Even this material world, we may understand the molecular structure of various elements, but we cannot understand anything in truth. Truth means to understand something's relationship with the source of everything. Ultimately, truth is all based on understanding relationships. I can understand, perhaps, that this is made out of copper, but that is not truth. Because where will it get me in life? Understanding truth means how this piece of copper has a relationship with the cause of all causes. To understand anything in its relationship with Krishna, that is truth. To understand anything without knowing its relationship with God is simply ignorance. Because Krishna is the supreme truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi. The absolute truth. And all relative truths can only be understood properly in their relationship with the absolute truth. Very well. Very nice. another bird for Radha Gopinath Saltani. So this is what we must understand to be real knowledge. Relative means that it is depending on its relationship with something beyond itself. Absolute means it is completely independent and completely full in himself. Krishna is the absolute truth. That means everything is emanating from him. Nothing can no truth can exist outside of him. He is not dependent on anything, but everything is depending on him. That is the meaning of absolute truth. Relative truth means it has no existence except its relationship with its source. So therefore, understanding relative truths without understanding its relationship with the absolute truth is ignorance. Thus, the greatest of all sciences is that which teaches truth. What is our relationship with Krishna? What is this material world's relationship with Krishna? And this revelation can only be understood by the mercy of Krishna. This is what Lord Krishna is personally instructing Lord Brahma to understand. You can go through so many long years and lifetimes of trying to understand what is the truth. Why are we suffering? How to get out of this condition of suffering? How people are speculating like anything to stop suffering. But no one has ever stopped suffering by any material arrangement. We can modify it temporarily. We can postpone it for some time, but we cannot stop it. But when Krishna bestows his causeless mercy upon us, he can put us in that position where we can transcend all suffering forever. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Sri Brahma Samhita, by Lord Brahma himself. He explains in this way because he has heard these truths from Krishna, that it is only by Krishna's mercy that we can find real happiness and cessation of suffering. And this is the path of bhakti. Krishna says in Gita, bhaktya mam abhijanati avanyashasmi tatvatah. You can only understand the truth, or him personally, and our relationship with him through devotional service. Because it is bhakti that pleases Krishna. And in reciprocation, he reveals himself to us. Therefore, great acharyas, they will never compromise. There may be other forms of yoga, other forms of religious ideal. However, although we recognize that one can certainly elevate oneself to a certain degree by following any of these processes correctly, it will never give us the realization of truth. Only bhakti can give us that realization, because the truth can only be known when the truth reveals himself to us. And as is explained here by Srila Prabhupada, that we have spiritual eyes. The soul has all senses, just as this physical body has a nose and ears and eyes and mouth. Similarly, the soul has eyes and ears.
But because of the material contamination of the dirt of material life, the eyes are closed, the ears are closed. We cannot hear Krishna, we cannot see Krishna. But when Krishna, through the agency of the spiritual master, the scriptures, and the sadhus, the Vaishnavas, when he opens our eyes, open our ears, then we can hear him speaking within our heart. We can see him in our heart, and we can see him everywhere, in everyone's heart. We can see how he is orchestrating everything that exists, even within this material world. And that is only possible by Krishna's mercy. So, Srila Prabhupada and the scriptures describe so nicely, if we want to understand Krishna, we must understand how to receive his mercy. And his mercy is coming in the form of the scriptures. One who sees through the eyes of the scripture can see things as they are, theoretically. Srila Prabhupada was so strong on this point, as all the great acharyas, to instill faith within our hearts that what the scriptures is speaking is the word of God. Therefore, it is the truth. Sometimes it seems very inconceivable and impossible by our material estimation of what is being spoken in the scriptures. However, we should understand that the truth is beyond our intellectual capacity to understand. If we could put our finger upon everything in the truth and understand it, then we would be as good as God. A child in the KG trying to understand things in terms of a person with a PhD will be completely bewildered and lost. Similarly, and far beyond, what is our position to understand from the point of view of God himself? The scripture is God's word. And sometimes what is being described seems very impossible to us that it could happen. If everything within the scriptures was just what we could figure out, just what's possible for our intelligence to grasp, then the scriptures might as well be written by us. But the fact that the scriptures are written by Krishna means what is described is going to be so beyond any possibility of human intelligence or endeavor. That is a fact. Foolish people, ignorant people, if they read something in the scripture that is impossible for them to comprehend, how is it? They reject the scripture, or they consider it some sort of symbolic representation to give a certain message to human society. When we read that Brahma lives 311 trillion years, we think, what is this possible? Who could live so long? When we read about the Satya Yuga, the Treta Yuga, the Dwapara Yuga, the Kali Yuga, various incarnations, how Matsyavatara is a huge fish millions of miles long, Kurma is a turtle with a back that's hundreds and thousands of miles long, how Prajapati Kashyapa, how he creates through his various wives, insects and reptiles, demigods and demons, trees, they're all coming from the womb of his wife. We're thinking, what is this crazy idea that's being given?
My wife can't give birth to reptiles.
So we're thinking in terms of our own limited scope, like Dr. Frog. Dr. Frog is living in a well. And another frog comes and says, "You know what I saw?" And Dr. Frog says,
"What did you see?"
"I saw the Pacific Ocean. It's so big, so much water." Dr. Frog said, "Is it as much as the water in my well?" She said, "Much bigger." "Is it twice as big as my well? Three times more water?" He has no capacity to understand anything beyond the jurisdiction of his well or what can be compared to his well. So similarly, there are so many Dr. Frogs writing so many books within this world. But the scripture is actually Krishna speaking. Vedavyas is Krishna himself, the Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord, specifically empowered to write down the truth. He is Trikalagya. He is the knower of past, present, and future. So when he's writing all these wonderful, wonderful, inconceivable explanations, if we try to understand it on the basis of our previous experiences in this world, we will be lost. There's only one way to understand the scriptures, ultimately, and that is faith, Shraddha. To have faith in the inconceivable power of God is really, truly the beginning of our spiritual path. Achintya Shakti. And if we want to put within our fist the inconceivable powers of God, we will be lost. We cannot understand. But we can understand that the Lord can do anything. We can understand that it is beyond our imperfect sense perception in our intellectual capacities what Krishna can do. And as soon as we break out of our relativistic perceptions of reality, then anything the scriptures say, we can immediately say, "Yes, how wonderful." And then whatever we read in the scriptures, it just increases our appreciation of Krishna, rather than creating doubt. Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand when he was 7 years old. If we try to figure that out, how to balance a mountain on your little finger, impossible. But for a devotee, whatever he reads in the scripture only increases his appreciation for Krishna, because there is faith. Krishna explains in Gita, "For the doubting soul, there is neither happiness in this world or the next." Now, some people say this is very sentimental. We should use our capacity of logic to understand things properly. However, there is no better logic than realizing your own limitations. It is very logical. The most logical thing is to understand that the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation has inconceivable potencies, can do anything, and can reveal himself through the scriptures. That is logic. Everything else is illogical. Hare Krishna. So therefore, and actually, it is the nature of the heart and the soul to have faith in the scriptures. Little children, when they listen to fairy tales, do you have fairy tales here in India? The parents read all these wonderful stories to little children about little fairies that have magic wands and make everything into gold like that. And children, oh, yes, yes, this is very good. And in America, when a little child loses his tooth, the mother says, you put the tooth under your pillow and the fairy goddess will come and give you a present in exchange for your tooth. And the children believe it. Oh, very nice, the fairy goddess has given me this. Even though the parents are actually the fairy goddess, but they don't know this. So children naturally believe what is impossible for adults to believe. Why is that? You may say because they're naive and they're foolish and they're ignorant. They may be misled by the adults who are reading fairy tales instead of scriptures. That's true. But that innocent nature to accept and to believe what is impossible is because they're innocent, because they're basically pure. But when adults are trained and raised to doubt and to question in a materialistic way, by the time they grow older, everything is being systematically analyzed by our intelligence of what is real, what is true, what can be, what cannot be. So really, it is the nature of everyone to have faith in the inconceivable and to take pleasure in it. If you read a child the newspaper, he'll go to sleep. Try to read a three-year-old child the Indian Express. On this particular day, there was an earthquake and so many people are killed and this scandal is taking place here. The child is going lost. But you read about some big giant coming and laughing and picking up mountains and the child, oh, read more, read more. Of course, because these stories are made up by some authors, there's no substance. There's no purification by reading these fairy tales. There's just an amusement and an eagerness to hear more and more and more. But gradually, as the child grows up, disheartening news comes that none of it's true. It's all just made up by the concoction of someone's mind. And then they start doubting anything that they cannot rationally justify by their own experiences with their senses. However, if we read a child Krishna book, if we read a child the stories of creation, the various avatars, and the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the child believes it, definitely. Why not? But if that child is explained how this actually is truth, the child will be more and more and more eager to hear about Krishna throughout his or her life. So it is natural not only to believe what is inconceivable, but to take great pleasure in hearing it. Now we take pleasure in reading the newspapers. How is that evolution? It's just the opposite. How many people read the newspapers these days? The devotees start their day every day hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people, every day they are reading newspapers all over the world. What purification, what benefit? There may be some value, some use on a very practical level. However, how does it help them to understand the goal of life? How does it help them be free from suffering? How does it help them understand what is the inconceivable power of the absolute truth? Thus, we need logic, philosophy, and scientific presentation just to bring us back to the natural. Need logic, philosophy, and scientific presentation just to bring us back to the natural state of having faith. Something that's already there. Just to bring back that natural faith that we had when we were a little child. We have to go through so much philosophical, scientific logic and debate just to say, yes, Krishna, you can do anything. I believe. And the more devotees read about Krishna's wonderful, wonderful pastimes, or those of the various avatars, the Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, devotees simply think, oh yes, this is very nice. However, a devotee should not believe just anything. It should be supported by the scripture. This is another type of ignorance, that we have so much faith that we just believe anything anyone says at any time about who is God. Somebody says, I am God. After all, I am absolute, so my absolute nature is I have come in this form. And I'll show you what I can do. I can make this cloth fall to the ground. That means I have created gravity. Ah, Bhagawan ji, please bless me that I can have lots of money. If you can create gravity, you can also create wealth in my home. Not like that. Our faith must be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. Without question. We can question not whether Krishna does it, but how Krishna can do it. And we can go deeper and deeper into the scriptures to find the answers. And by inquiring from others who are knowledgeable in the scriptures. The scriptures are coming by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, we should accept it with faith. However, the realization of what is spoken must also come by the mercy of the Lord. And that is by pleasing Krishna. By following his teachings, we please Krishna. And then by his mercy, we can get direct perception and realization of the conclusions that are being described within the scriptures. So in this way, the path of bhakti is very logical and very simple. Tad vidhi pranipate na pariprasne na sevaya upadekshani te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshanaha. Just try to understand the truth. By approaching the spiritual master, inquire submissively in a humble state and render service. People do not want to hear these things. Everyone has their own agenda of what they want to accomplish in life. But the truth cannot be changed. In fact, it is explained in the Shastra that anyone who is repeating the truth, a person has to be very tolerant and compassionate to be actually a representative of God. Because such a person, although everyone is his friend, will become enemy to so many. Such a person will be attacked. Haridas Thakur was beaten 22 marketplaces. Jesus Christ was put on a crucifix. Prahlad Maharaj was... If you want to speak the truth, so many people will be intimidated and threatened by that truth. Because people want to remain within a fool's paradise. And if someone comes and says, this is a fool's paradise, people interpret that, means I must be a fool. If I'm living in this paradise. And who likes to be called a fool? Devotees love to be called fools. Sanatan Goswami, he said to Lord Chaitanya, I am fool number one, please tell me what is the truth. Arjuna said to Krishna, I am a fool, I don't know, please tell me. When we admit we're fools, then we can understand. But if we're not willing to admit we're fools, but then we hear the truth reveals you're a fool. People are very much determined to maintain their egoistic perceptions and conceptions of life. Therefore, how to understand the truth? We must inquire submissively, and that inquire submissively is not just to a person, but that person who is delivering the true message of the scripture as it is coming down through parampara. If we hear that message with humility and submissiveness by inquiring, then we get theoretical understanding of what we are supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. Then when we render service by practically applying that knowledge to our life, then we get realization. And the realization is not because of the service we're rendering. The realization is because the service pleases Krishna. And Krishna gives that realization. Krishna reveals everything to be known by one who serves and pleases him with humility and devotion. Brahma was the disciple of Krishna. Brahma was inquiring very submissively, desperately, who am I? Where am I? And when Krishna saw he was really eager to know, Krishna told him what he should do, tapa. So in a mood of service, he carried out that order and performed tapasya. And then Krishna revealed everything. He revealed himself. In the same way, we are all the children of Lord Brahma. In many ways, we are so fortunate because it is already there, everything that is to be done within our life to achieve real success. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord, by helping to others to become free from their sufferings, by this type of service, 9 processes of devotional service there are in full, then Krishna reveals to us. And it is said in the Gita, just as when the sun lights up everything in the daytime, similarly, when Krishna reveals himself by his mercy in reciprocation to our service, then all the darkness of ignorance was the cause of all suffering is realized within our life. Is there any questions? Yes. Gauranga Prabhu.
When Brahmaji was instructed to do tapasya, so what was the kind of yoga process he followed, or what was his object of meditation?
What was Brahma's object of meditation? Because of his sincerity, Krishna revealed himself within Brahma's heart. He was meditating on the Lord within his heart. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned about how the soul has got spiritual eyes and ears. Just like we hear about Krishna's senses being interchangeable, Angani, Yasya, Sakalindri, Vritti, Manti, does the senses of the spirit soul are also similarly capable?
Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, yes. However, to an infinitesimal degree. Any other questions? Yes, Muralidhar Prabhu.
Mataji, you just mentioned that it's not a service which you're rendering that pleases Krishna. It's a service which pleases Krishna will give you the realization, not the service you are rendering. So the question is, Maharaj, if you are doing any service which is not been ordained by the authority to do, then do you mean to say that service is a waste? Will you not get realization because of that? You are doing some service, but you know that is not been given by any authority.
It's not a question if it's been given by your authority, it's a question of whether it pleases your authority, whether it pleases Krishna. Ultimately, whatever is favorable for devotional service is what's given to you by authority. It's not that at every moment of every day someone has to be telling you exactly what to do. But whatever we do, we should do it in a spirit of devotion. We should do it in a spirit of service. The authorities are simply trying to engage us in Krishna's service. Nobody wants us to engage in their service. But they're trying to engage you in Krishna's service. So whatever is favorable, according to the scriptures, what pleases Krishna will help you make spiritual advancement. But it's required that we have living advanced devotees to understand how to apply the teachings of the scriptures according to time, place, and circumstance. Otherwise, we could do disservice if we do not understand the practical application. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned about the absolute truth and the relative concept of truth. Like absolute, as it's connected, its relationship is with Krishna, and the relative concept you mentioned is in relation to its source. But Krishna is the source of everything, so in an indirect way, even the relative concepts are related to Krishna, wouldn't it be? And my question actually is that in life, the absolute concept would sort of help us for purification, reading scriptures and following it. But you may not be at a platform to be able to implement the absolute truth in its absolute way. So then, is it all right to take shelter of relative concepts, or is it that you negate the relative concepts completely?
Yes, everything relative does have its relationship to Krishna. And the path of truth is to use everything according to that relationship. To understand relative truths will not help us to achieve what is beyond the relative. In other words, it cannot help you beyond birth, old age, disease, and death. But to understand how everything is related to Krishna and to utilize everything according to that relationship, that means devotional service. Krishna is not only the source of everything, but he is also the proprietor and enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokmaheshwaram. Krishna explains, if you want to achieve peace, you must understand how I am the creator, the proprietor, and the enjoyer of everything that exists. Very simple. So whatever relative truth may be there, if we understand that this is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna, it is coming from Krishna, so let me use it in Krishna's service, that is perfection of knowledge. And it is also the way of achieving perfect knowledge. To understand something without understanding how it is meant to be used in the service of God will only create further karmic bondage. Does that answer your question? One more question. Janava Devi.
For the little children, we should tell them stories about Krishna. And the fairy tales just create more illusion for them. But practical experience says that when children are a little older, they get so fed up and they say, now again Krishna stories, please tell us something else. We are tired of hearing all Krishna stories.
That's
but there's so much variety in illusory literature. The children don't want to just hear Krishna stories all the time.
That may be that we are not telling them properly. There are so many stories.
When we gave on a competition,
it may not be that we have made them all palatable for children. All the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the stories of Mahabharata, all the stories of the 18 Puranas, all the stories of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the stories of all the great Vaishnavacharyas who ever lived throughout history.
They should be so learned to be able to say so many stories.
You have to be learned to tell fairy tales too.
That we can say by just reading the book.
The difference is materialistic people are very eager to write so many books. But devotees, if they were to start translating in children's forms all the different stories in the Vedic literatures, you can tell them stories every day for the rest of their lives and never have to repeat the same one twice. But actually, if they're being told properly, as they grow older, their taste for hearing about Krishna will grow more and more and more. I have seen opposite. Children love to hear the same thing again and again and again. Huh? Please tell this story again and again.
That must be coming from you, but as parents, they don't like to hear it again and again. From parents at least.
Mm.
And then children are given Krishna.
Then why is it that your children are still hearing about Krishna?
It's not like only my children. General parents' viewpoint.
But I'm talking about your children. Now they're in their teenage years, 20 years old, and they're still talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna. So the reality of your own children counteracts the reality of what you're speaking. So certainly we should try to bring more and more information to these children in a form that they can understand. And then they, no doubt, fairy tales may have nice moral lessons. We are not necessarily against them. However, they will not purify the heart. And once the children understand as they get older that they're not true, then they start becoming jnanis. That if it's beyond sense perception, it isn't true. But when they hear the glories of the Lord and they realize or they understand as they grow older that it is true, then they do not lose their faith. Do you understand how children lose faith? They're told all these beautiful stories and they believe it and they love it. And then when they grow older, they're told it's all untrue. It's all impossible. It's all made up. The only thing that's true is what can be conceived by your mind and senses. The newspaper, that is true. But all these wonderful things about giants and people flying in the sky, it's not true. But when we read the scriptures, there's Vritrasura, big giants, Kumbhakarna, and there's Apsaras flying in the sky, and Gandharvas and demigods. It's all true. So when you're reading about these fantastic, enjoyable stories that just fascinates the mind and the heart, and as you grow older throughout your life, you're taught that actually it is true, and there's a way to realize it. That is the best service we can render to our children. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Other criminals and thieves, and I want you to bring them to the path of bhakti. Give them the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving them Harinam Kirtan. As the same person, he was filled with bliss. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu took the garland that was decorating his own body and placed it on the thief. All the devotees seeing this began to chant, Jai, Jai! Then this Brahmin said to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, please, I have one aspiration. Give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Sri Nityananda Prabhu then placed his beautiful lotus feet on the head of the Brahmin. And by doing so, accepted him as one of his intimate associates and filled his consciousness with pure, unalloyed devotional service. And empowered him to preach. Any thief or dacoit that would approach this Brahmin and come to his house, he would give them the message of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He began preaching to all of the dacoits and criminals. And soon, all the criminals of Navadvipa became Vaishnavas. They gave up all sinful activities, lived very simple, austere lives. And wherever anyone would see them, they were crying in great love. dancing together and chanting the holy names of Krishna. This is the inconceivable power of Lord Nityananda. Actually, in this world, we are all, to one extent or other, like these beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is making His mercy available to everyone. But the people of this world, rather than accepting the supreme jewel of the mercy of the Lord, we want to steal the ornaments from the Lord's body. Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Lokameshwara Lokaram Sarvam, that I am the supreme enjoyer of everything. Everything is my property. Every time we have the aspiration to enjoy any of the articles of material nature, we are, so to speak, trying to steal the property of the Lord to enjoy for ourselves. Everything in this world are the ornaments meant to decorate Krishna. Today, Sri Sri Radha Madhav Astasaki, so beautifully they are decorated. Such beautiful silk and jewels. And devotees are finding such great joy just beholding the infinitely beautiful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madhav. Pankajangari Prabhu is trying to teach us this principle by his causeless mercy. He's sitting there with a little torn piece of cloth around his shoulder. And yet he's bedecking the deities with the most beautiful, costly ornaments and clothes. He sleeps on the floor, and he has beautiful silken beds for the deities. And he's dancing and chanting in great happiness. He has achieved the jewel of Krishna and Sri Radharani. And we are trying to steal the jewels that are decorating them. Not you, me. That is material life. Everything is meant for the service of Krishna. Everything is meant to decorate the deity of Krishna. But we want to take it for ourselves, for our own pleasure. And in doing so, we are hurting the heart of Krishna. What is the remedy to people who have been performing these sinful activities of trying to exploit and enjoy the property of God birth after birth after birth? Ahankari matavaya nitapada bhasariya asatyere satya korimani. The mercy of Lord Nityananda. It is our own. He is the most munificent. Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda are the most kind and benevolent of all of us. Paramakaruna pahunduni jana mithai gaurachandra hava avatar parasiromani kevala anandikanda. The most merciful, supremely merciful, the essence of all avatars, and they have given us a medicine that is so nice. The process of Krishna consciousness is joyful, chanting, dancing, and feasting. When in other yugas we had to perform such severe tapasya with such focus of the concentration, impossible in this age of Kali. But if we just follow these four regulative principles, adopt the blissful mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, hear the beautiful stories and teachings of the Lord, and chant His holy names, and dance, and take prasad, By Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can all achieve the ultimate perfection of liberation, Krishna Prema. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly, as the most intimate empowered representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, distributed his mercy to all of us, all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.